I'm sure we are all under a lot of pressure, of course, with the ISATs this week, but nevertheless, we still have our podcast ready to go. This is Sports Talk Chicago. Hello, everybody. I'm John Zagluel, and boy, oh boy, we do have a lot to get to tonight, as always. And our major headline of the night comes out of the Bears organization here. Devin Hester will not be returning next year. And now, as one journalist put it, it is the end of an era, and I totally agree with it. Let's put it this way here. He is 31 years old. The team did thank him. He's been here for 8 years. He will not be re-signed, and he will become an unrestricted free agent when that period starts March 11th. And you know what? I can't even believe this is I can't imagine a Bears team without Devin Hester. I mean, look at this. He had 18 kick return touchdowns, 13 punt return touchdowns. He also tied Hall of Famer Deion Sanders' career mark of 19 return touchdowns, which includes the punts, the kickoffs, the missed field goals, and the fumbles and interceptions. Remember, he was drafted in the second round of that 2006 draft out of Miami, Florida. They didn't really think of him. Believe it or not, Hester's actual position was to become a cornerback. Obviously, that didn't pan out. He started returning punts and other kicks. He was really good at it. I don't know if you recall, 2006 Super Bowl, the first kick of the game, he returned it all the way. I mean, this guy was clutch. He was doing it, like, consistently. He had a brief, I would say, unsuccessful period from about 2009 through 11, but he started firing it up back again in 2012. And you know what? I mean, it truly is the end of an era. Every time on the Bears games when I'd watch Hester, you know, get a chance to return the ball, I would always get so excited. I'd love to see him. You know, I'd always think, this is it. He's going to return it all the way. He made those, you know, aspects of the game, the little aspects of the game, he made them exciting. Although he certainly did not pan out as a wide receiver, you know what? I'll always have a special place in my heart for him. He was a great kick returner out here. Rumors have been circulating now that he might join Lovey back in Tampa Bay with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And this is just a news story coming out like just this instant. You could check it out more. You know, I'm sure online it's trending right now. But it is quite odd. Well, not really odd, but you know, you sort of saw this coming. From last year, I don't know if you recall, when they fired Lovie Smith, Hester repeatedly said, I'm not coming back, you know, I want to quit, I'm done with this team. He ended up sticking it out last year, but now you've got to wonder, was Hester a fan of Mark Trestman? And I wonder what really happened in that locker room between them two. Obviously, we're probably never going to actually find out what really happened, but you can assume that Hester and Trestman did not have a good professional relationship. And I think this, that has a big reason why that Hester is going to be moving on. I don't think, to be honest with you, I really don't think Hester is going to want to stay here or has wanted to stay here. But then again, I see why management has wanted to release him. Hester has been asking and has actually been getting over $5 million just to return 5 or 6 kicks, maybe a punt if he gets lucky. This guy is getting $5 million to return a kickoff. Some of these players who are working harder, these corners, these linebackers, the linemen, they're making less and they're doing more hard work and the more heavy lifting for the team. So I can understand. I'm sure they offered Hester a pay cut, but you know, Hester, he's not going to want a pay cut. He's obviously going to want more and more money. And I think that those two factors made a, you know, significant contribution to why Hester won't be wearing a Bears uniform next year. Now, I am not 100% sure if Tampa Bay is all on with it, but I can say this, Lovie Smith wouldn't mind having Hester on his team, and I don't really think, frankly, any team wouldn't mind him. He is a great kickoff returner, and we all know that there are only a few teams out there who actually have some good kick returners on their roster. I mean, Hester could be picked up, and he could be suited by many teams, so make sure, you know, to look in the news, you know, coming up soon, because I'm sure you're going to be hearing a lot of rumors swirling around about where Hester is going to end up. It's going to be something else, but I just want to say a few words here. Hester, you know, Devin Hester, I don't know if you're ever going to listen to this, but if you do, you were a great piece to this Chicago organization. I appreciate all of your contributions you made here, especially with all your kickoff returns and your punt returns and that one field goal blocked return. And I just want to tell you, you know what, your services are very much appreciated, especially here in Chicago. Well, we're going to move on now. Just, oh, one more thing of Bears news. Adam Podlish was also cut recently, but the Bears did re-sign Jeremiah Ratliff. Now, one more thing about Podlish. He was cut. He's been here since about 2009. And, yeah, here they released him. And they're going to have a new one. They terminated his contract. But keep in mind, he struggled this year. He ranked 33rd in the NFL in gross average yards and 29th in only net average. And he ranked, oh, as a team, the Bears ranked last in NFL in gross average. He had been signed through 2015, but he ended up just getting released, apparently. I feel bad for the guy because he was, you know, he was a nice guy. He was a good, he wasn't that bad of a punter, actually. I mean, keep in mind, he only had one field or one punt blocked throughout his entire career, and that was last season. So he, you know, he was very consistent, and you know what? He'll be missed too. I'm sure he'll get picked up. One more piece of news, as I just mentioned, Jeremiah Ratliff has been re-signed by the Bears. He got a two-year deal. Remember, he joined last November. He appeared in the final five games. He had 14.5 tackles and 1.5 sacks, and keep in mind, he only started four of those five games, so hopefully Ratliff will have a full season here to now do well. And we're going to move on now to some Chicago Cubs news. Now, the Cubs today, they lost a 1-0 game to the Cleveland Indians in spring training. The Cubs not having a successful spring. They're 2-5 so far, but some good news here. Travis Wood was very sharp today, even though the Cubs did lose 1-0. He only gave up that one run, and he lasted very much, so good for Travis Wood. Three scoreless innings, actually. Sorry about that. He finished with the three strikeouts, no walks, and only one hit allowed. So, I mean, good for him. I'm very happy to see that because the Cubs really don't have a true number one starter yet. Everybody's saying that Samardzija is going to be the next guy. He has to actually win 10 games in a year. He won 9-13 last year. So he's not the answer yet. I don't think he is. Also, concerning the Cubs front office, I don't know if any of you Cubs fans were recall Ted Lilly. Remember him from 2007 to 2009? He had some great years here. Now he will be a special assistant to Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer. He will be doing a variety of tasks, such as helping with scouting and developing young players. I'm very excited for this. As you have heard recently, Lilly had just retired this offseason. He is 38, and you know what? He was one of my favorite pitchers back in the day when the Cubs were, you know, a powerhouse in the National League. Lilly pitched 15 years, if you can recall. He pitched with the Expos, Yankees, A's, Blue Jays, Cubs, and Dodgers. Remember, he was here from 2007 to 2010. And you know what? I'm very excited to see this, you know? I'm sure Lilly could bring some good expertise here to the table. And hopefully, he could, you know, develop a new young player. And then he would find another way to really give back to the sweet city of Chicago. Well, there really isn't no more, you know, Cubs news yet. Just remember, though, that if you do want to listen to some Cubs games, you could log on to 720 WGN, and they actually do broadcast almost all of the Chicago Cubs spring training games, so make sure to check them out. Now we're going to move on to some Chicago White Sox news. We're going to start out with John Danks. He worked three shutout innings in his first spring start. He only allowed one hit, he walked two, and he got two strikeouts. So John Danks looking well, looking good. And you know what? That's good for him. You know, last year, it was a tough year for him. The year before, he was battling injury woes. So this is nice to see Danks, who actually is a good pitcher when he's healthy and he gets some run support, you know. Hopefully this year he could contend, maybe get 15, 20 games under his belt for wins. That'd be nice to see. Also, in that game, Adam Eaton getting three hits. Good for him. Of course, that is the new White Sox acquisition they got in the trade with Arizona this offseason. along with another thing of news here, Jose Abreu. You remember him, the six-year, $68 million guy out of Cuba. He hit his first home run against veteran Brad Penny. So that's good for him. That was against the Royals. Remember, Abreu is actually supposed to be the replacement for Paul Konerko. So, of course, you know, this is a nice showing from him in his rookie season. And now we're going to move on to the Chicago Bulls. Yesterday, a big win over Detroit by 11, 105-94. And another big piece of news, Joakim Noah getting a triple-double yesterday. Good for him. Congratulations. More importantly, in the Eastern Conference standings, the Bulls are fourth, and they are tied with Toronto. So good for them. And you know what? I've been pulling for the Bulls this whole year. Although Derrick Rose has been out, there are still some key pieces you could watch and, you know, that could actually entertain you, including Noah, DJ Augustine, Jimmy Butler. I'm so excited to see the Bulls actually end up pulling this off without the help of Derrick Rose. I'm sure you could recall last year, they did all right, 45-37. Although this is how the Bulls may do this time. They will be in a higher seed than last year, and they could possibly make it a little further in the playoffs because they're facing worse competition due to their higher seed. So good for the Bulls there. Another big thing I'm sure you've heard all over the place, Jimmer Fredette is on the Bulls. Now, he did clear waivers. He was put on waivers by the Kings. I don't know if you could remember, he was the 10th overall pick in the 2011 draft out of BYU. If you could recall, he really led BYU to a great college basketball season. He led them into the top 25 in the AP rankings there in college basketball. And he was known for his long three-point shots that he ended up making in games, and they almost seemed impossible, but he found a way to put him in the basket. He wasn't doing this well this season, only averaging 5.8 points a game, but he is shooting 49% from three-point range. Here is Jimmy Butler, what he had to say. Jimmer is going to be a hell of a player here. I heard he works incredibly hard, and we all know he could shoot the ball, see? I mean, that's what many are saying. Thibodeau says he's got to learn defensively what to do in terms of team defense, and that's usually the biggest adjustment. But the fact that he can shoot the way that he can, I think it complements our primary scorers as well. And you know what? Here are some quick facts about Jimmer and his NCAA career. He led the nation in scoring at 28.5 points a game during his senior year with BYU, who made it to the Sweet 16 in the NCAA tournament that year. He was the Associated Press Player of the Year, but he never really lived up to his standards that he was supposed to in Sacramento. So, I mean, you know what? The Bulls are taking a risk, and I'd like to see that. Who knows? Maybe he can live up to his old Jimmer Fredette self of old and become a great superstar here in the NBA here with the Bulls. Remember, the Bulls were in desperate need of a three-point shooter. If you remember, the past years, they've had Kyle Korver and Marco Bellinelli, Nate Robinson. This year, it is Mike Dunleavy, but keep in mind, he's not doing all the work that he's supposed to. Kirk Heinrich can make threes, but he can only make them very seldom. At least the Bulls have really gotten a true guy who basically all he can do is make those big threes. He's almost like a younger Kyle Korver, if you will. So I'm very excited and very anxious to see him in his debut game here in Chicago. And there are some other big news about the Bulls here and regarding the NBA and personal player power rankings. As for personal player, we have plus-minus studs. Mike Dunleavy was a plus 73 in four games last week, and the hero team of the week was the Bulls. They went 4-0. The Bulls crushed the Warriors at home and came back from 16 down to beat the Mavericks on the road. The Bulls were the highest jump of the week as well. They moved up six spots in the power rankings. And the easiest schedules through Sunday, the Bulls are number three on that list. So the Bulls are doing very well, and they're in a very good position, almost the driver's seat, to overtake, and rightfully overtake, Toronto, the Toronto Raptors, that is, for that number three seed in the Eastern Conference. They will be right behind Indiana and Miami. And we'll move on now, finally, to some Chicago Blackhawks news. Now, as of right now, the Hawks are leading the Blue Jackets 4-1 now, with 2:44 left in the second. So they are winning. And as we look at the standings right now, the Hawks, second in their division, the Central, they are 2 points out of it. If we look at the conference, the Western Conference, the Hawks in third, they are about 6 points off the lead. Anaheim has that top spot with 92 points. St. Louis at number two, and then the good old Hawks at number three. The Hawks also were quiet. The trade deadline, which was yesterday, some other big moves on the NHL. Roberto Luongo was traded by the Vancouver Canucks, along with Martin St. Louis from Tampa Bay. The Hawks did do some things, though. They ended up moving prospect Brandon Perry to the Florida Panthers for draft picks. They also acquired defenseman David Rundblad and Matthew Brisebois from the Phoenix Coyotes for a second-round draft pick. And according to Stan Bowman, the general manager, "We were not looking to do anything today," Bowman said. "I talked over the weekend that we made our big move earlier when we got Christopher Stieg, and we made some other minor moves in between. We actually were excited to acquire David Rundblad yesterday, but we aren't looking to do anything else." So you know what? That's good, because the Hawks really, I mean, they have a good thing going here, and the last thing they want to do is really screw it up. I mean, the Hawks have almost built a dynasty here. They won it in 2010. They've won it in 2012. You know, I mean, the last thing that all the fans here in Chicago, the whole population of Chicago, along with all the front office guys, is to screw a good thing up. And I think right now they're making some good minor moves here and keeping the big pieces where they need them most here in a Chicago Blackhawks uniform. We are now at our odd sports story segment of the day. And this one actually comes out of here of the United States, not specific where it comes from, but this is something odd. There's apparently a competitive kickball league out there. The WACA, the World Adult Kickball Association, is out there, and apparently they have been starting games already this year. And you know, I mean, I love to flash back to those elementary school days in the baseball field playing some kickball, but wow, I wasn't aware that there was an actual professional league devoted to kickball. Well, that is pretty odd. We're going to move on now to our punchline of the day segment. And this joke involves the rivalry between the Yankees and the Red Sox. It's one of the most storied rivalries in sports. So here's the joke. Now, a teacher asks her students if they're Yankees fans. All of the hands go up, except for one student. "Okay, Bobby, what team are you a fan of?" "The Red Sox." "Why is that?" "Well, my parents are both Red Sox fans, so I'm a Red Sox fan too." "That's not a good answer, Bobby. If your parents were both morons, would you be a moron too?" "No, that would make me a Yankees fan." Oh, what a hilarious joke. I can't believe I even found that one. We're going to move on now to another segment. Of course, our announcer's call of the day segment. This is one of my favorite segments, and I'm happy to share this one with you today. Now, let me set a little mood for you. Game 1, 1988 World Series, A's Dodgers. Keep in mind now, the Dodgers down for their last out, really. Kirk Gibson comes up to the plate as a pinch hitter who's been battling knee injuries all year. Let's take a listen, and let's see what happens. Wow, just memories, walking down memory lane, what a game. Just wow. There's no other words, just wow. Anyways, that'll be it, but we have two quick announcements that I want to share to you. I'm sure you've heard me say this 100 times, but keep in mind, follow us on Twitter at Shy Talk Sports. We do follow back, and we do have over 200 followers as of right now. Also, one other thing, if you do get a chance, please go down to the bottom of the website, and you can actually subscribe and sign up to have my articles or podcasts sent to you via email when they are updated or put on the website. So make sure to sign up down there. If you go to the bottom of the website, it'll say email sign up, and it will have info@sportstalkchicago.com on it. Make sure to sign up for that, so that way you can get your latest posts and latest podcasts from Sports Talk Chicago. Anyways, thank you everybody for listening. I truly appreciate it. As always, I'm John Zagluel. Keep in mind, we'll see you next week for another podcast, and look for some new articles here in the near future. Thank you so much, and I'll see you a bit later. Bye-bye.